Hey everybody, this is Mark Manson, and this is another commentary and analysis, this time about the four stages of life. These commentaries are all about the inspiration, research, and ideas that went into making this article, how I came up with it, why I decided to put it together, and hopefully what made it great so that you wanted to read it. If you like the article, I encourage you to keep checking out these audios because it's basically a behind the scenes and way to learn more about some of the topics and where the ideas came from. So with this four stages of life thing, this article happened completely on accident, which happens sometimes. I think one thing, just to go off on a little tangent about my creative process, is one thing I've learned over the years is that yes, you need to plan. Like I plan when I'm going to write and I try to plan what I'm going to write about, but you need to make room for some spontaneity. If inspiration strikes, you just gotta like step aside and go with it, because that's usually when the best stuff comes out. So what happened with this one, I started writing an article about friendship, and it was just really horrible. I have this tendency to get super philosophical and navel-gazy sometimes, and fortunately you guys haven't really been forced to be subjected to it, because I always stop myself, or Drew, my assistant, stops me from posting anything like that. But, I was writing an article about friendship. I got like 2,000 words in and I hadn't really said anything. Instead, I constructed this entire intellectual framework about like the stages of friendship and like how like the emotional impulses line up in certain ways. And after a few hours, I just looked at it and I'm like, this is awful. There's no way I'm ever going to post this. So what happens in that situation is I just kind of chuck it aside, take the rest of the afternoon off or whatever. And then I wake up the next day and start over on a different article. Just start from scratch, basically. And what happened in this case is I woke up the next day, I took another look at it. And although the whole friendship thing was kind of stupid and sucked, I looked at this whole, the stages, and it kind of inspired me. It got me thinking about life in general. And then that went on. And so I kind of just like took the stages out of the friendship thing and just applied it to life in general. And that became this article. To go back a little bit and talk about because this one is more philosophical and intellectual than most of the other stuff on the site. And I was actually nervous posting this. Drew, my assistant, felt pretty good about it. I kind of use him as a litmus test when I'm unsure. I was definitely a little bit, insecure about it. Just because, yeah, it is super philosophical and there isn't really any like immediate life application for it. But the article did fantastic. People loved it. It continues to do well. It was one of the most read and successful articles of 2015. I'm super happy with it. Now, where some of these ideas came from, because obviously I didn't just pull this stuff out of a hat. The funny thing is when I was in my early 20s, I went through this phase in my early 20s where I got really into developmental psychology and just in case you don't know, like for me, I've always been a total book nerd. Like my idea of fun when I was 16 years old was like buying a Nietzsche book and like hiding in the music room at school and reading Nietzsche. And like it's like, this has always been kind of a part of my life. So when I say like, yeah, I was really into developmental psychology in my early 20s, I didn't get a degree in it. I wasn't studying it in school. Like what that means is I would go to the bookstore and look for books on developmental psychology because I thought it was really cool. And, this is why I didn't have any friends. But anyway, I had this huge phase in my early 20s where I got way into developmental psychology, and it actually came from because I got way into Ken Wilber and Wilber, which there's another post on the site about him, but Wilber was all about taking these different models of stages of development and kind of meshing them together. And so I got way into him, and then I was like, well, I should understand these different developmental models that he's referencing. And so then I went out and started, you know, buying stuff by Erickson and Piaget and Kohlberg and all these people. For those of you who don't even know what developmental psychology is basically the study of how people mature and grow up. And so a lot of like the most fundamental models in developmental psychology focus on children. And so they kind of point to different stages where like infants or young children first figure out, you know, how like spatial relations work, or think about abstract concepts, or understand that, like, you know, if you leave the room, you still exist in the other room, even though they're not there with you. A lot of these things actually, they take years to show up in children. And what a lot of psychologists discovered in the 50s, 60s, and 70s is that these different kind of understandings in our brains show up in children around the same time, and they always show up in the same order. So it's like in the same way, like, you can't get good at calculus without knowing algebra. Like, that's kind of how the human brain works in general. Like, there's certain things that certain functions that the brain does psychologically that just can't exist until other functions develop before that. So what a lot of psychologists back then did is they broke things up into stages. Well, in the 70s or so, in the 70s and 80s, there were a number of people and psychologists who, especially with kind of like all the personal development stuff that started to blow up, there was a human potential movement, I believe, which was like a big kind of like, it was supposedly scientifically based, but it was like a big kind of like self-help cultish thing out in California. But anyway, the point is that a lot of people took these developmental psychology ideas and said, well, what if the stages don't end in childhood? Like, what if the brain continues to develop through adulthood? What if there's better, higher levels of understanding and consciousness, you know, even for people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s? And so here you had even more models. Eric Erickson, which was a famous psychoanalyst, had like eight different stages that literally went from the day you were born till the day you died. They started applying these different stages of development to different areas of life. So, Lawrence Kohlberg was a famous psychologist. He had different stages of development based on like moral reasoning, how people ethically develop, because, you know, psychologists started to notice that like little kids, they're tyrants, like they're completely selfish, and they treat other people poorly, and they just want what's good for them. And then at some point they learn how to share and care about others. And then at some point they learn about individual responsibility. And again, all these things happen in a certain order. So there must be some sort of like stage. So anyway, all this is like a very long, boring background to where this article came from. I had a huge hard on for this stuff in my early 20s. And I read tons of it, tons and tons and tons of it. It's like all I read. I thought I was like solving the universe by reading this stuff. The funny thing about developmental models, though, is that there's very little empirical research behind it. In fact, there's pretty much, even like the most like evidence-driven models, like Piaget's, like they're still poking holes in them and finding kind of exceptions or situations where things may not be 100%, you know, go in a certain order. So, long story short, like all these developmental models, like it's kind of just mental masturbation. It's like, oh, this is how things usually develop in humans. And it's fun to think about. So, the problem is, and I talk about this in my Wilbur article, the problem is that people take these developmental models and some people take them very, very seriously and say like, oh, well, you're a stage four empathically and I'm stage five, therefore you need to listen to me. And like the truth is that most of these developmental models, like it's kind of just all educated guesses still. So anyway, back to the article, I was kind of looking at this whole friendship thing, this like kind of model I created for that, and I noticed that it applied really well to life, you know. And when people are young, they're trying to mimic everything, and they're trying to be accepted, and they're trying to learn all the social rules and adapt to them so they can be socially accepted. And then once they're socially accepted, they run into a new kind of problem, which is like, okay, well, who are they going to be? What do they like to do? How do they want to be identified? How do they want to be known? And so they test their limits. They test, they try to break the rules here and there. They try new things. They try to see where they fit in. And then once this kind of experimental period is over, and they discover what they like and what they care about, they kind of go through this consolidation process of like, okay, well, now I'm 35 and I'm really good at these two things and I really like this one thing. And so I might as well just dedicate all my time and energy to these one or two things, instead of like when I was 20 where I wanted to try everything. And it's actually like a very simple and sound kind of fundamental process. It has its roots in a lot of the different stages of development. After I posted this, I got a lot of people emailing me about Erikson's stages of development, Maslow's hierarchy, things like that. And yeah, I mean, that's the thing about all these models is they overlap. They kind of talk about the same thing. It's a very nebulous thing. Nobody has a very clear answer, but I really like how this breaks things down into these four stages, and it makes sense to me, and it reflects my own life. 2015 as well, it was a time, I was kind of, I think when I'm older, like in 10 years, I think if people ask me like, how was 2015? I'm going to remember 2015 as my own little mini midlife crisis. I had a lot of like major life changes going on for me. I changed a lot over the course of 2014, 2015. My life was kind of completely turned upside down. And I think this article was actually, I think the reason I ended up loving it so much is that it was me answering my own question, which was, why am I changing so much? Even at 31, like, why am I changing so much? Why are my priorities completely different than they were 3 years ago? Why am I losing a bunch of friendships and making new friends with people I never would have thought I'd be friends with before? And the truth is that I was basically transitioning from stage two to stage three. And, it really, really helped me to kind of crystallize that and put that down on paper. And I guess, and this just struck me now while I'm recording this, is that maybe, you know, because these developmental models were such a big deal to me in my 20s, you know, maybe it was almost even kind of like a throwback, like a little piece of nostalgia for myself, unconsciously, to be like, you know, because a lot of the inspiration for me writing this came from me, you know, trying to understand how I was going to let go of my young adult self. And, you know, part of that was letting go of these kind of silly developmental models or kind of creating my own and just sticking with it, understanding it's not such a big deal. So this article definitely falls under the category of Mark writing for himself, and the fact that other people liked it too is just a bonus. It's also one of those articles that definitely it's accidental, totally unintended, unplanned, came out of left field and turned out five times better than anything else I was trying to write that week. So there it is. And yeah, I don't know. It's funny. People ask about the painting up at the top. I got tons of emails saying it was a beautiful painting. Some people asked me if I painted it. It's really funny. Found it on a stock photo site. Some random dude, I bought rights to it for like $20. If you want it, it's on deposit photos. I forget what it's called. You can email me if you really want it. But yeah, it's kind of funny. Like, usually stock photo sites are just full of a bunch of garbage. And nothing that's really that artistic or nice. But this one was actually very nice. I think it fits, I think it fits the article beautifully. Props to Drew, who searches for a lot of the images that go into the articles. I believe he found it. So, yeah, there you go.